Yellow Yanders. Yeah.
And if somebody ate something, didn't agree with him, you say, well, he got sick where?
Well, you know, they didn't know what food poisoning. By the way, back in those days, they thought you could get tin poisoning. If you opened a can, you had to get it out right quick, you'd have tin poisoning. Of course, it's ridiculous now, but my mother used to open a can of salmon. Get it out quick, you'll have tin poisoning. She'd have been horrified today if you could see us take a can of salmon half and put it in the refrigerator and leave it in the can. They had the idea that tin would poison you. Of course, it didn't. The food spoiled and you had food poisoning. Mm-hmm. But they thought it was the tin that caused it, which it's not a tin can at all. It's a steel can. Maybe a little skim of tin on it. But they had the idea that this tin poison was deadly stuff.
If you got food poisoning, they would get sick.
Oh, they had the bellyache, man. Oh. Bad.
Would they get sick on the stomach or to the stomach?
Well, they did say sick at the stomach or sick to, some of them said sick to the stomach.
Mm-hmm. And
sick of the stomach.
They would bring the food up. What was a serious word and what was a joking word for that?
Well, the serious word is regurgitate, I suppose. And they would say everything he eats comes back. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was talking to a fellow, the Chevrolet dealer here right now. His wife told me the other day, said, I just can't make him go to see a doctor. Everything he eats comes right back. So mm-hmm. I guess you meant regurgitate the food.
Mm-hmm. The different references to colds, suppose you lost your voice, you say he's mighty, he lost his voice.
Yeah, I got that way myself once. You lose your voice. What would you call it? I'm trying to think.
The common term is probably hoarse, but I was wondering.
Well, I know they were hoarse, but hoarseness is not the same thing as losing your voice.
Uh-huh.
You got hoarse, your voice got raspy, you know. And
mm-hmm.
Of course, they use the word hoarse a whole lot.
And would he catch a cold or? Cold or
you take a cold, yeah. Take a cold.
Then you get something in your chest. Any words for a cough?
You have a chest. You have a chest cold, and a rasping cough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they used to call it cold, a rasping cough.
And if your throat was so sore, you could hardly take medicine, you say he can hardly
swallow. My grandfather used to say, he was a doctor, he said, as long as you got a moving pain, don't worry about it. He said, as long as it moves, don't worry. So if it stops, then you got to worry. As long as your pain moves or something like that.
And what would they give for malaria?
Quinine. Uh-huh. He had saddlebags on his car, on his horse, I mean, you know, behind.
Mm-hmm.
The little bottles were stuck in leather cases, sole leather cases, and I'd give my, if I just knew what came of it. But his principal remedies was calomel, quinine, castor oil, and a tonic he prepared himself. But everybody had to take a course of calomel, horrible stuff. But there in the spring, you ought to have a good course of calomel. Of course, and for fever, quinine was about all they had. Being one-armed, I used to fill the capsules for him. We'd pour it, we bought the quinine in a book and pour it out on a marble slab and then take these little capsules. You've seen capsules. Put them in a little round box. That was a sovereign remedy for a fever. Any kind of fever, quinine.
Break the fever by making you what? Would you say he sweated hard or he sweat hard?
It was to sweat the fever out. Now, we went to see a colored family one day, and I'm sure it was typhoid fever, and they had him on the bed packed in green peach tree leaves. They'd gone out and gathered, and it was covered the mattress with these leaves and covered him with leaves.